We'll go solar in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the studios of the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, with this rain report.
I think it's very exciting. The state of Mississippi has just acquired its first solar-powered UHF repeater, and look forward to a lot of good use from this system for the next few years.
That's Matt Hickman, AF5FM, trustee of reportedly the first solar-powered UHF Mississippi repeater, located in the northern rural town of Pontotoc. Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, one of the voices of both RAIN and the Amateur Radio Newsline, spoke with Matt this past summer.
What was the basis behind trying to go solar power on a repeater?
Well, it actually started out, Kent, with the purchase of a single UHF mobile radio. Once I got this UHF mobile radio, that I would try to see if I could purchase another one. Went online and found another one just like it. So in the end, we ended up putting together a UHF repeater out of two UHF mobile radios, connecting them together with a 16-pin accessory cable. The radio puts out 20 watts. The duplexer is rather unique. It's a six-cavity, 50-watt UHF mobile duplexer, notch type, and it seems to reject and work very well between the 5 megahertz split for the UHF repeater. The repeater frequency is 444.500 with a positive offset, and the tone is 131.8. The coverage is exceptionally well, pretty much all of the county of Pontotoc.
Is the repeater site itself up on a hill somewhere?
The site is located just up the road from my home. It's an old abandoned farm complex about 2 miles north of the city of Pontotoc. Some abandoned buildings and 4 grain storage silos where we had the antenna mounted. The silo is about 92 feet above the ground.
Do you have normal AC power, or was it just easier to get solar out there?
Well, it's no power, and that was the reasoning for going solar. The owner of the property is a very good friend of mine. He told me many, many years ago, if I ever decided to want to put a repeater on the site, I was okay to do that. So we ended up, after about a year in the making, finally was able to put the site up and get it going on Father's Day weekend. And it's running great. The site, like I say, is abandoned and it's closed in. Not a lot of area, not a lot of traffic in the area. We're up on the northern end of the county, about 2 miles north of the city. It's an abandoned farm complex. No one's been on the site for many, many years. A lot of livestock was raised there, and it just so happens that this site has had 4 grain silos that have not been in use for better part of 25 years since this complex was abandoned.
As rural as you're describing this, are there a lot of hams in your county?
Yes, there are actually. Some of them are not very active, and then of course some of them you hear every day on some of the local repeaters and are very active on HF. Now we're very active ourselves on HF and are very active throughout the community and the state of Mississippi concerning all of the local clubs.
So you really had no choice. If you were going to put a repeater out there, you absolutely positively had to find some different means to power it.
That's right. And initially, we were going to go with a site that already had power, but availability just wasn't there, Kent. Up till just a few months ago, we have not had a repeater on this county for a better part of 2 years. For many years, there was a 2-meter repeater. It was a high-profile repeater with cell phone towers coming into the area and buying up a lot of the sites. They ended up taking the repeater down. And just recently, were they able to get the repeater back up and going. I was already in the making of putting this UHF repeater together, and I decided I wouldn't stop. I would continue on.
How do you begin to design a repeater that's powered by solar energy?
We started out trying to decide the integrity of the system. We decided that the system would have to be able to run at least 24 hours nonstop on continuous use. One of the biggest factors that we learned along this endeavor was that summertime and wintertime plays a big difference in how much charging output you're able to collect from the sun during those seasons. So what we ended up doing, we decided that we would build a system that would run for at least 24 hours nonstop as far as battery capability. The power source is all 12-volt DC, no power inverters used. The system has its own climate control apparatus to keep it cool in the summer and warm in the winter. We have so far put together 2 separate arrays totaling 225 watts. The first array is a 150-watt array, that powers just nothing but the radio, just the repeater. The second array is a 75-watt array with its own battery. It powers just the controller and all of the relays and the thermostat control modules that's involved. We ended up doing a lot of research over the internet, Kent, that give us all of the different control features that we need along with this repeater. This repeater has the capability of activating or deactivating one of the other arrays to ensure that the voltage output is kept up. The power consumption of the radio was the biggest consideration to make. Our system only draws 5 amps during the summertime, so we took that factor, that value, and multiplied it by 24. That gave us 120 amp hours. Due to the batteries and the requirements for them, they suggest that you never completely discharge a gel pack battery. That's what we're using on this site. Two different batteries at the moment, a 100 amp hour battery and a 50 amp hour battery. When you add 25% more to that 120 amp hour value, you get a total of 150 amp hours, and that's our summertime capacity. We're looking to have to add another 225 watt array. We'll have to double the array in order to carry it through the winter months where we could have some pretty extreme cool weather. Not uncommon for the state of Mississippi. We have seen temperatures dip down in single digits here as early as November.
You're listening to a conversation between Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, and the trustee of Mississippi's first solar-powered UHF repeater, Matt Hickman, AF5FM. We'll conclude Kent's conversation with Matt after I remind you that the Rain Report is available 24/7 on therainreport.com and via iTunes. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
The third array will be installed on September. We will add another 200 amp hour capacity for the batteries. That'll be two more batteries that we'll add to the system.
Obviously, you've got to charge them, so did you then have to get some solar charge controller devices in there too?
That's right. The solar array comes with two different controllers for each array. The normal way to approach figuring your output for the repeater is doubling the charger output to the power consumption output. Since our power consumption was only 5 amps during the summertime, we multiplied that by 12 hours, and that gives us 120 amp hours of charging output. Just enough to sustain the repeater and completely keep the battery topped off with the proper charging voltage. It's set up that if we should go without power, if for some reason the array fails, the battery capacity is capable of carrying the repeater up to 10 days during the summer without a charge and up to 5 days during extreme winter conditions without a charge. Most repeaters throughout the day may see 6 to 8 hours. We based ours on an 8-hour usage, but there's times where you will see very little use, and sometimes you will see more than above average use. If we can double the output to the charging array for the batteries, and it being more than double of the output consumption of the repeater, it should more than sustain the repeater and the batteries through any use, whether it's minimal or, as I say, for 24-hour use. We designed that in mind, that if we did end up in an emergency, that we would be able to completely operate 24 hours nonstop without loss of the repeater or the battery capacity. The heater that keeps the system warm alone draws 10 amps, so that calls for a 30-amp charger output in the wintertime. That's a rather larger rate, more than we were expecting to put together, Kent, but it calls for that.
From the 90-foot-tall silo that you've got, what's your kind of normal good UHF range?
It's actually getting out about 18 miles from the site. That's pretty much all borders of the county, north, south, east, and west.
The repeater output's 20 watts, right?
That's correct, 20 watts, and I have such a good duplexer, I'm only losing 4 watts. 1.2 dB is the insertion loss. My feed line is the LMR400, so I'm getting around 11 watts to the antenna. The antenna is the 17-foot tall dual-band vertical made by Diamond, and I found that antenna resonates very well on the output frequency of the repeater. It's actually rated for 11.7 dB of gain, and the coax is only showing 2.7 dB of loss per 100 feet. And that's the entire length of our feed line is 100 feet.
So if you got 11 watts at the spigot before the antenna, yeah, you're getting a good 100 watts plus effective rated power out of that. So That's pretty cool. You've actually physically had it on, though, for a while, and it's been holding up so far?
It's been up since Father's Day. We've had no issues whatsoever. The voltage is holding up perfect. I've got several special relay modules incorporated into the system, Kent, that are called voltage control modules. They actually monitor the voltage from the array, monitors the battery voltage, and if it sees any discrepancies or issues concerning low battery voltage or low charger output, it will automatically switch over to the other battery or switch on the other array, whichever one it calls for. There's four different control modules that controls the arrays and the battery voltages.
What's the life of your battery going
to
be?
3 to 5 years. The batteries that we're using is a UB12-1000 gel pack battery, one of the top-of-the-line deep cycle batteries made just for solar application. Normally they request that you interchange them about every 3 years. We're looking in the future, Kent, that this system may have some great possibilities. It's quite possible we'll be able to use it as a linking radio for various other repeaters in the area and for some of the other repeaters across the state.
If you've got an antenna up at 90 feet in the middle of a county with a Yagi up there, you could manage to hit a couple of counties over depending upon which direction you aim the thing at. So right there is a good solid sound linking scenario too.
The system is open to all ham radio operators. I mean, it's got a voice ID module that announces every other hour. So it's voice ID 1 hour and then CWID the next. I've learned a lot about how fragile our climate and our environment is and how dependent the Earth is upon the sun.
And that concludes a conversation that took place this past summer between RAIN and amateur radio newsline voice Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, and Matt Hickman, AF5FM, trustee of Mississippi's first solar-powered UHF repeater located in rural Pontotoc. If your repeater is exclusively solar-powered, we'd like to hear from you. Our email address is hap1p@therainreport.com. That's hap@therainreport.com. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2016 Rain. All rights are reserved. Now, for all those connected with these Rain Reports, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com, and somewhere in iTunes. Keep on hamming.